The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Well, hello there. This is Fred Brack from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. And for the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from Our State magazine. Today's reading of Our State is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. And now we crack the cover at a brand new issue of Our State magazine. This is for November 2018. The theme this month is Best Dressed. Thanksgiving dressings, here we don't call it stuffing, take center stage on North Carolina tables. And they also have a guide to North Carolina oysters. We may be getting a little bit of that today. We'll just see how fast we get through the tutorial. And we begin, as we always do, with the Welcome to Our State by Elizabeth Hudson, the editor-in-chief. On the next day, we began production on this issue, our Thanksgiving issue, one that is filled with stories from eastern North Carolina, from Moorhead City and Havelock and Wrightsville Beach, from Lowland and Varnumtown and Whiteville, on the day that a tropical cyclone formed in the Atlantic Ocean. 2 weeks passed between the time we knew Hurricane Florence was heading toward North Carolina and the time it actually got here, a massive storm crawling at an agonizingly slow pace, headed directly for Moorhead City and Havelock and Wrightsville Beach, for Lowland and Varnumtown and Whiteville. As far inland as Greensboro, grocery stores ran out of bottled water. Gas station lines got longer. D batteries flew off the shelves at Walmart, Costco, Lowe's Home Improvement. We waited and worried and watched the storm creep closer. On September 13th, the day before Hurricane Florence made landfall near Wilmington, we photographed the cover for the issue you're holding. The cast iron skillet heaped with homemade cornbread dressing. And on any other day, we would have been excited, proud parents with a new baby. But on this day, our eyes and hearts were focused on the coast. Our attention turned far away from Thanksgiving. We closed the office, unsure of what was going to happen next. Now we know. By the next evening, power outages in the millions and rising, roads in eastern North Carolina impassable, I-40 turned into a river, catastrophic flooding and loss of agriculture, loss of life. But on the next day at 10:38 a.m., the day after the hurricane that would claim status as one of the most destructive in our state's history, a local restaurant in Havelock, La Casa del Patron, posted a message on their Facebook page announcing that they would be serving free hot meals to everyone, signing off with, "We love you, Havelock." The restaurant had no electricity. Staff in the kitchen fired up the gas stoves and made tacos, quesadillas, rice, and beans by the light of cell phones. They set up serving tables in the parking lot. Within minutes, a line formed, families with small children, people picking up hot meals for the elderly, and most people supplying their own paper plates. All across North Carolina, the scene repeated. In Wilmington, Max Speed Shop piled barbecue in containers for linemen and first responders. Wrightsville Beach Brewery gave out gallons of water. Chef Smoke dished out fried chicken from his food truck in New Bern. Pastor Jeff Daw served daily hot meals from Lighthouse Worship Center in Rocky Point, delivering food by boat, door to door, to anyone who couldn't get to the church. And hundreds of local chefs joined the efforts of World Relief Kitchen to prepare hundreds of thousands of meals. It'll be some time before North Carolina returns to normal, before many people can sit down again at their own tables. This Thanksgiving, we may remember the rescuers and relief workers, the servers and the Samaritans. And let us be grateful. A nice introduction for the pictorial this month, which is entitled, Thank You for Your Service. The overleaf, double page, is a spread of American flags in the ground. It says on patriotic holidays throughout the year, hundreds of flags, each tagged with a dedication to a veteran, flutter in the breeze at the Veterans Memorial Park in Columbus County. This month, we honor the brave men and women who have sacrificed so much to protect our country. To veterans across the state, we offer our gratitude. Veterans Memorial Park, Whiteville. Around a bend on U.S. Highway 701 in Columbus County, a field of red, white, and blue comes into view. On Veterans Day and other patriotic holidays, a committee, including the men pictured here, Tommy Avant and Randy Norris, and Randy's wife Angela, meticulously plant more than 600 American flags in the soil. Each flag dedicated in honor or in memory of a veteran represents a donation toward the future of Veterans Memorial Park, which the Norrises and other organizers hope will someday include a community center, a museum, and a tribute to every veteran in Columbus County displayed on a wall of honor. We see Tommy here in a red t-shirt that says Veterans Memorial Park. He has tattoos on his arm and a flowing white beard and white hair that just touches his collar. And a cap that ends in the letter Y. Perhaps it says Navy, I'm not sure. He's reaching out toward one of the flags. The Warsaw Veterans Parade. The first time a parade honoring veterans marched through this Duplin County town was nearly a century ago, in 1921. 3 years after the armistice that ended World War I. That year, Henry L. Stevens, Jr., commander of Warsaw's newly formed American Legion Post 127, organized a parade with a brass band, members of his post and other local servicemen, and school children on foot and float. This event has continued through the decades. The town has never missed a year, and is believed to be the oldest consecutive Veterans Day parade in the country. In 2016, the General Assembly recognized it as the state's official Veterans Day Parade. When paraders march through town again on November 3rd, it will be for the 98th time, a tradition that continues to be carefully preserved and passed down across generations. We see the back of a military person with a rifle over their shoulder. It's very out of focus. We can't really see anything about the individual or any insignia. And on the side, three young boys, perhaps aged 8 through 13, are saluting with parents behind them. More about the veterans parade in Warsaw on the next page and a couple of photos. As a Marine Corps color guard led the parade down Front Street last year, hundreds of spectators lined the sidewalks, cheering them on. The town of Warsaw is home to about 3,000 residents. But on the first or second Saturday every November, nearly 10,000 people from across the state turn out to show their appreciation. The day's events include vendors, rides, food, and music, but attendees never forgot the reason they've gathered. A VFW memorial service, a visit to the Duplin County Veterans Memorial Museum, and the parade itself offer opportunities to learn about and support service members past and present. Here is a very classic photo of the lead to a parade on the left. Four military officers, the outer two with guns over their shoulders, the inner two holding flags. U.S. flag on the right as you, or rather on the left as you face them, the state flag on the right. And a red convertible sporting a flag straight out at the rear with participants, people watching the parade all along the storefronts behind it. More about the Warsaw Veterans Parade. Each year, JROTC squads from high schools across North Carolina march through downtown Warsaw alongside current and former members of the military. Last year, the U.S. Army JROTC of Union High School at Rose Hill participated in the Veterans Day Parade with instructor Lieutenant Colonel Vincent W. Tripp, who retired from the Army after 28 years of service. Military personnel from around the country are stationed at North Carolina bases, including Fort Bragg, one of the largest military installations in the world. But the strength of the state's JROTC programs shows a hometown admiration for shared values of citizenship, patriotism, and service. And here come the young men marching down. They aren't carrying any guns or anything, but they're all in uniform with varying numbers of medals hanging down their front. And their commanding officer in step along the side, walking underneath a very large American flag. World War I Centennial in Roxborough. During World War I, amid the chaos of the Battle of Ypres in 1915, long dormant poppy seeds were churned to the surface and bloomed, an image captured in John McCrae's famous poem In Flanders Fields. Poppies soon came to symbolize remembrance of soldiers killed in battle. In observance of the centennial of Armistice Day, the end of World War I and the precursor to Veterans Day, the Garden Club of North Carolina and the Department of Transportation planted poppies in public spaces and along roadways, including a stretch of Highway 57 dedicated in honor of First Lieutenant Guy Jennings Winstead, one of more than 86,000 North Carolinians who fought in the Great War. Beautiful picture of the poppies here. It takes up about 60% of the lower half of the double spread here. The ones in the front are out of focus, and then the ones in the middle are in focus. And we get into more out of focus in the back and the blurry, bushy trees and a building back there. Morehead City Veterans Day Parade. The procession that marches down Arundel Street every November is believed to be the largest Veterans Day parade in the state. Just 30 minutes long when it began in the mid-90s, Morehead City's Veterans Day Parade has grown to nearly fill 2 hours. Last year, the event featured more than 2,000 participants, including members of the 2nd Marine Aircraft Wing Band, based at nearby Marine Corps Air Station Cherry Point. As the players marched in formation behind their drum major, Gunnery Sergeant Monica A. Preston, brass horns gleaming in the sun, they proudly represented the Marine Corps through music. We've got a straight-on view. We've got participants on the right enjoying the music and the parade. And here they are. We see, I don't know how much of it we see. I'm thinking it's four rows of band members. Looks like a trombone on the two on the right. No, it's five. I guess it's five rows. One was stuck right here at the crease in the page. And then we have the majorette in the front, and behind her another trombone. And way back, we see three sousaphones and a red convertible, of course, following them with some dignitary sitting inside. Morehead City, more about the Veterans Day Parade. The parade is a point of pride for the thousands of spectators who line Arundel Street, and even more so for the participants. Last year's event welcomed officers from Marine Corps Air Station Cherry Point, including Captain Reginald S. Ewing II, Executive Officer of the Naval Health Clinic at Cherry Point, Grand Marshal Captain Gerard J. Wolkers, Commanding Officer of the Navy Health Center at Cherry Point, and Grand Marshal Colonel Todd Ferry, Commanding Officer of Cherry Point. Civilian participants included Carrie Baker and Larrington Chadwick, who rode with the Kindness Crew, a volunteer organization based in Downeast Carteret County. Veteran Joe Beam of Cedar Point, who served in the Marine Corps during Vietnam, paraded on behalf of VFW Post 9960 in Swansboro. So we see the three military officers on the left in all of their military finery and their white hats and white gloves. And a young lady and an older young lady is sitting behind a sign which says thank you and has a picture of a flag drawn on it. And they're very happy. Their hair is blowing wildly in the wind and they have big smiles on their faces. And then we have on down here Joe Beam that we mentioned before. He gives us a wave in his fatigues. Every year, residents of Carteret County and visitors from across the state eagerly anticipate the parade's sights, sounds, and spirit of patriotism, embodied by the Marching Mariners of East Carteret High School in Beaufort, the Color Guard from Croatan High School in Newport, and members of the American Legion Post 99 in Beaufort, riding in a trailer pulled by the Crystal Coast Tractor Club. Unfortunately, this year's parade has been canceled due to damage from Hurricane Florence. But military members and civilians alike look forward to rebuilding and preparing for next year's celebration. We see the Marching Mariners over here on the left, out of focus behind a young lady playing a flute. She has a light blue jacket on in the center, and it turns into a mid-blue around the waist and then a black skirt, and she has long black gloves on with three shining buttons way up near the elbow, and she's playing her flute. She has a black hat with a shiny visor, a big emblem with a starburst on it, and a plume that goes way up out of the picture. And then the young ladies all dressed in red, waving blue. I think they're kind of a decorative flag that you swirl around you as you walk. And then we have military people sitting on a float. They've all got sunglasses on and all got some age on them. And they all have their caps on, an American flag at the rear of the float. Finally, the Carolina Field of Honor. In Kernersville, a 57-foot granite obelisk reaches proudly toward the sky, surrounded by flags and educational signposts, engraved pavers and five monuments representing branches of the military, Air Force, Army, Coast Guard, Marine Corps, and Navy. Dedicated in 2014, the Carolina Field of Honor at Triad Park, the largest veterans memorial on the East Coast outside of the District of Columbia, has been the passion project of Bill Moss, a Marine and founder of the North Carolina War Memorial Foundation. In a park shared by Guilford and Forsyth counties, the foundation created a sacred space to reflect and pay respects to the men and women of the armed forces, especially the more than 150,000 who live in the Triad. On Veterans Day, the power of this place is deeply felt in the bagpipe music that opens the ceremony and in the taps call that closes it. And in the solemn moment last year when Moss and keynote speaker General David Rodriguez laid a wreath at the Fallen Soldier Monument, a symbol of remembrance. And the picture on the left shows the two gentlemen just mentioned with this big green wreath composed of multiple elements with a red, white, and blue ribbon with flowing tails on top of it as they bring it to the monument, which is out of sight. And then on the right, we see that 57-foot granite obelisk reaching to the sky on a day that has a really nice sunset in the background, yellowish near the horizon, turning to orange, turning to pink, and then way up high behind the point of the obelisk, a little bit of pale blue. In the front, on top of a 2-foot, perhaps, rectangular granite, is a pair of boots, a gun posted on its butt, and a soldier's hat resting on the muzzle. Beneath it, it says, "All gave some gave all." Dedicated to the memory of all who proudly served and protected their country. And that's about it for our pictorial this month. Don't have time to read a full article, so as I do every now and then, we will play a little bit here at the beginning with the quiz. And, of course, I always have to get the answer page lined up first because I don't know the answers to these things. We hope you folks that have lived in North Carolina longer than I have or different parts may know the answer. I'll be really excited when I know any of these answers. This one's called Fresh Catch. North Carolina's commercial fishermen work year-round to bring coastal delights from the ocean to your plate. Well, I enjoy that thought. In 2017, North Carolina's commercial fishermen landed 54.3 million pounds of finfish and shellfish. What county, whose seat is Manteo, topped the chart with a reported catch of the 14.1 million pounds? Hyde, Dare, or Carteret? Now, your key, of course, there is knowing what county Manteo is in, and I do believe I know that one. I'm going to say the answer is Dare, and I would be correct. Hope you were, too. Number two, hard crabs accounted for more than 18.1 million pounds of North Carolina's 2017 commercial catch, weighing more than any other category. What species of crab is most commercially common along our coast? Blue, king, or Dungeness? I'm going to guess blue. Hey, two in a row for me. How are you doing? Number three, commercial fishing for Atlantic menhaden in North Carolina brought in about 500,000 pounds in 2016. What famous group of retired African-American fishermen and musicians celebrate this fish with their songs? This one's going to be tough. The Menhaden Chorus, the Menhaden Crooners, or the Menhaden Shantymen. I have no idea. What's your guess? Well, if you guessed the last one, Menhaden Shantymen, you'd be correct. A new state record for largest bluefin tuna was set last March when an 877-pound behemoth was caught on the sports fishing charter craft Assault Weapon. Get it? Assault Weapon. The boat is based at Pirates Cove Marina in what town near Oregon Inlet? Manteo, Smyrna, or Middletown? I think Oregon Inlet's near Manteo. That would be A. Let's see how we're doing here. Oh, right again. 5. Held each fall for more than 30 years, the North Carolina Seafood Festival celebrates the economic and gastronomic influence that fishing has in our state. This event takes place in what Carteret County town? My gosh, I know this one too. I can't believe this. Washington, Moorhead City, or Jacksonville? Since I've been to the Seafood Festival in Moorhead City, I know that one. Number 6, the North Carolina Department of Marine Fisheries maintains 13 sanctuary reefs for the protection of oysters that act as broodstock for surrounding waters. One of these reefs is located near the mouth of what river that flows past New Bern, the Pamlico, the Cape Fear, or the Neuse? What do you think it is? The answer is the Neuse. And I'm going to stop bragging now, so I'm not going to tell you if I know the answers. Number 7, commercial and charter fishing boats unload their catch each day at a famous Brunswick County town known for its many seafood restaurants. What is this small town known as the seafood capital of the world? Calabash, Little River, or Sunset Harbor? Calabash. To reduce the chance of harming animals like sea turtles, commercial shrimp trawlers in our waters must use a device on their nets called a BRD, which is an abbreviation for what? Bycatch retrieval device, bifurcated removal drain, or bycatch reduction device. Never heard of that, that's for sure. Well, if you said bycatch reduction device, you are correct. Not sure what it is or how it works, but that's what it is, and we appreciate it. Number 9, and our last one in our little quiz here. North Carolina has about 4,000 commercial fishermen, 9,000 recreational commercial gear licensees, and 2 million recreational anglers. What North Carolina Division of Marine Fisheries Agency is on our waters making sure that people fish fairly? Sea wardens, marine patrol, or fishing police? And the answer is Marine Patrol. Well, one time for one advertisement here. Factory Direct Furniture Outlets. The fall aftermarket sale goes through November 12th. Kincaid Factory Outlet on Hickory Boulevard in Granite Falls, North Carolina. And that, my friends, is all the time we have for today's episode of Our State Magazine. I certainly hope you enjoyed it, and that you'll be sure to listen next time. I'm Fred Brack, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Today's reading of Our State Magazine was underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, TriangleReadingService.org. Comments, questions? Call the studios, 919-832-5138. So long for now.